your bulletin carefully, you notice that the flowers today are given by Kathy and me in gratitude for the last 23 years. Well, if you had been at the first service, you would have looked up there and seen no flowers. Because I said, Kathy, don't worry, I got this. Yeah, I had it. Those people in California, they just have no clue what they're in for. Some kind soul after the first service got some centerpieces from the reception later today and put them up there so I wouldn't look like such a fool. But nonetheless, so for me, where sermons come from is usually someplace vague. I know the scripture that's to be read, or I have something in me. There's some indefinite kind of a sense of something that needs to be said, or something that's cooking on the inside. There's a lump in the throat, maybe. And I'm not always sure exactly what it is. I just know that there's something about it, that's working its way out within me. And sometimes that emerges early in the week, but most often it emerges like late Saturday night, sometime after midnight even. But I always feel secure knowing that there's something there because I sense that it's happening. And for me, not just this last week, but the last several weeks, that lump in the throat has sort of clustered around the word remember. Remember. And so the scripture I'm going to read in a moment begins by saying, I thank my God every time I remember you. It's a scripture that I have known for years, that whenever the close of our time at Wildwood would come, that would be the scripture that I would read. Because in this scripture, in Paul's letter to the Philippians in the first chapter, he expresses so beautifully how he feels about the people in this church in Philippi to whom he is so closely bound, people that he loves with all of his heart. But then, as all this was working itself out, there was another word that also attached itself, another word that came to that lump in the throat, and it came from a book review that I had kept for a while but never read, that was sitting sort of sadly on the floor in the middle of my office for weeks. It's a book that is written by an American who went to be a graduate student with Karl Barth, the great Protestant theologian in Switzerland back in the 60s. And this person wrote a book about his experience of being a student of the great Karl Barth. And he tells the story of, after having been there for 4 or 5 years and studying, and then writing his own dissertation and meeting with the great master Karl Barth, he was feeling guilty about this great, the great resources of time that he had spent, and about the money that other people had paid so that he would have the luxury of spending his days in the library and sitting at the foot of the master. And he went to Karl Barth to say, to express this guilt that he was feeling. And Barth just sort of waved his hands and said, all is grace. All is grace. So along with this word remember comes this word grace. And I should not have been surprised to discover that the word grace also appears in the same passage of Scripture I'd already planned to read this morning. So hear now the word of God to Paul from the first chapter of his letter to the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here we are coming to the end of this journey that we have shared, this journey of faith that has lasted 23 years here in this good and sacred place and in the good and sacred place across the lake where we met before this? Now, I am really good at denial. And sometimes that's a good thing. I mean, how do we survive some of the terrors that assail us in this life without denial? But still, in recent weeks, I've spent a good part of time there. I have my reasons. I've been preoccupied with the details of selling a home here and buying a home there, with the details of Presbyterian processes and of cleaning out an office that hasn't been cleaned out since probably sometime in the early 1990s. Someone said, you know, well, what about, you know, we moved to the new church. Didn't you get a new start back in 2007? And no, I really basically just took the mess over on Sears Boulevard and moved it here. So I haven't been paying as much attention as maybe I should be to the narrowing of days. And November 23rd has been sneaking up on me, and now all of a sudden, it's just a short time away. Well, in the midst of all the things to do and all the chaos and the craziness, last Friday and Saturday, it was sort of an enforced Sabbath for me. It was the high school youth retreat to Lake Geneva. So it was a required break. It was an all-stop. So I went up to Lake Geneva with, you know, 25 of our youth group and our wonderful youth advisor team, and I had absolutely no responsibilities other than to just be there. It's really what I'm best at. There was all kinds of free time in the afternoon. We had like 4.5 hours of free time in the afternoon, which is way too much free time to give teenagers, but that's another story. 4.5 hours of free time, and I started to think, I don't know. Maybe I should use this time differently. Maybe I should go back to Wildwood just for the afternoon. I can work in my office. I can maybe do a visit or two that I need to do. I can clear up some things that I'm not sure I'm going to actually get to. I can always go back up to Lake Geneva at night for the evening session. Maybe that would work. But fortunately, the Spirit said no. It might have been my spirit that said no, but I think it was probably the Holy Spirit that just said no, stay. And then grace happened. Now, you know that bumper sticker. You know the one that says, S happens. Well, S does happen. But just as often, I think more often really, grace happens. And for the first time in a long time, last Saturday afternoon, by the shore of Lake Geneva, I just watched time go by without trying to fill it. Clouds moved from west to east across a suddenly sunlit lake, brightening up this golden tree 60 feet high that had stubbornly kept its leaves until that afternoon, just for our benefit, I think. A circle of my kids, you know, which are your kids, but I call them my kids, the ones in high school, and then, you know, much of our advisor team now are kids who were kids during high school and now have come back to be advisors. So a circle of my kids, people coming and going, sat by the lake, talking about all manner of things and sometimes not talking much at all. And I was sitting there well aware that the meter was running. Very well aware that this high school retreat was one of those lasts that I have been avoiding. And yet the wonderful thing about it was that that moment was not dominated by the lastness of it. It was sort of a moment beyond time, really. And as I think about that moment, I'm reminded what Karl Barth said, that all is grace. All is grace. It was grace in that moment. But because it was grace, it wasn't just in that moment. There was there the beauty of the water and the sky, the beauty of those young people, the beauty of the opportunity that I've had to be part of their lives, to be part of your lives these last 23 years. And it was all grace. All grace. Such a gift. Such a gift. When I was a kid, I had to memorize Robert Frost's poem, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. Apparently, I'm never going to be able to recite that one again. But for some reason, I also memorized another one of Frost's poems. As a young kid, I'm not sure why, but this one, it had my attention, and I've known it ever since. It's a poem called Nothing Gold Can Stay, and it's about that moment when the dawn first breaks, when the sun is first lighting up the trees and the landscape, and there's that golden kind of a glow to everything that passes as the day comes. But Frost's poem goes like this: Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold. Her earthly leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. As dawn goes down today, nothing gold can stay. Frost is right, of course, nothing gold can stay. I mean, the times we've been graced by God with for these last 23 years will soon be a memory. So there's an ache in Frost's words, just as there was an ache in my heart last Saturday afternoon at Lake Geneva, and there's an ache right now as I look out upon your faces. But Frost was wrong, too. Frost was wrong because all that is gold does stay. It stays here in my heart because I remember it. It stays because though grace happens in time, it comes to us from beyond time. And all the gold that you have been for me over the years and for Kathy and for our kids, all the grace of God that we have shared can and does and will stay. That's what Paul says. I thank my God every time I remember you, grateful for your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. The golden graces of God that we have shared will stay within my heart, surely because my soul has been shaped and molded and formed by our time together in ways that can't possibly be left behind. But even more, all that is gold stays, I believe, within God's heart. The book of Ecclesiastes, we're all familiar with the words from the third chapter, and Ecclesiastes is really something of a cynic. But the familiar words we've heard sung and spoken are, for everything there's a time and season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. They're familiar words, but less familiar are the words that come just a verse or two later. Whatever God does, Ecclesiastes the cynic tells us, whatever God does endures forever. Forever. The times and seasons of our lives are held in the heart of God even after we have lost our own power to remember them, as we all will. That surely is part of the truth of the resurrection of the dead that the church has affirmed for centuries. Not only that who you are and who I am will somehow be given life again after death, but that grace-filled times and seasons that have shaped our souls, that though they too will live on. And so as we prepare to part in a week's time, and as I think about all that has been in these last 23 years, as I think of the gold that has been the grace that God has given us to share, I know that all that has been gold will stay, and that whatever God does will endure forever. Now, if you were listening to those words from the scripture, you'll notice Paul said something interesting. He said, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because you hold me in your hearts. And the Greek is sort of vague there because some translations get it exactly the opposite. They say, it's right for me to feel this way about you because I hold you in my heart. And one of the great joys of these last 23 years for Kathy and for me is that both of these are true. There's one last message for us from Philippians. Like Paul, I share the conviction that I am confident that the one who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. The one who began a good work in you is the one who said, do this in remembrance of me. The one who gave his life for ours. The one who will never give up on us. The one who is himself the Lord and the giver of life. Christ is the one who has begun a good work among us. And we can trust Christ to bring that work to completion, to fulfillment. I believe that's true for each of us as individual souls, that the God who gave us life in the beginning is and will be at work within us, luring us by the grace of God toward that completion, that fullness and abundance of life that's Christ's last and most precious gift to all of us. And it's been the great privilege of my life to have seen the grace of God time and time again in your lives. And I thank you for that. But Paul's words are also true for Wildwood Presbyterian Church. The God who has begun a good work among us will bring that to completion as well. Because the grace of God has been at work here, in, among, and through all of you, blessing children, healing hearts, raising the dead, forgiving sins, encouraging souls, and changing this little corner of the world that God's given us as our mission field, but even beyond it in places as far away as El Salvador and Haiti. And God is most definitely not finished yet. So the one who has begun a good work among you will bring it to fulfillment. Or if you're looking for the bumper sticker version of that, grace will continue to happen here at WPC and beyond. I'm certain of it. And so once again, I say, for all that has been, for all that has been, thanks. And for all that will be, yes. Pray with me. Lord, bless these good and faithful people whom I hold in my heart, knowing that you hold all of us in yours. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes, I ask it. Amen. Let's worship God now with our gifts and with song. Pray with me. Lord, use our money, yes, but use our voices, use our hearts, use our efforts, use our energy, use our strength, use our courage in the service of your love. Amen.